Hello and welcome to the Pediatric Critical Care Medicine Audio Abstracts. I'm Dr. Erin Bennett, and on behalf of PCCM, I'm happy to present this audio recording of the research abstracts that appear in this month's issue. Let's get started. Abstract 1 is a feature article by Channa et al., a prognostic model for critically ill children in locations with emerging critical care capacity. Objectives: to develop a clinical prediction model to risk stratify children admitted to PICUs in locations with limited resources and compare performance of the model to 9 existing pediatric severity scores. Design: retrospective single-center cohort study. Setting: PICU of a pediatric hospital in Siem Reap, northern Cambodia. Patients: children between 28 days and 16 years old admitted non-electively to the PICU. There were no interventions. Measurements and main results. Clinical and laboratory data recorded at the time of PICU admission were collected. The primary outcome was death during PICU admission. 1,550 consecutive non-elective PICU admissions were included, of which 97 died, or 6.3%. Most existing severity scores achieved comparable discrimination, with the area under the receiver operating characteristic curve of 0.71 to 0.76, but only 3 scores demonstrated moderate diagnostic utility for triaging admissions into high and low-risk groups, with positive likelihood ratios 2.65 to 2.97 and negative likelihood ratios 0.4 to 0.46. The newly derived model outperformed all existing severity scores, with the area under the receiver operating characteristic curve 0.84, 95% confidence interval 0.8 to 0.88, and a p-value less than 0.001. Using one particular threshold, the model classified 13% of admissions as high risk, among which probability of mortality was almost tenfold greater than admissions triaged as low risk, with a positive likelihood ratio of 5.75, a 95% confidence interval of 4.57 to 7.23, and a negative likelihood ratio of 0.47, with a 95% confidence interval of 0.37 to 0.59. Decision curve analyses indicated that the model would be superior to all existing severity scores and could provide utility across the range of clinically plausible decision thresholds. Conclusions: existing pediatric severity scores have limited potential as risk stratification tools in resource-constrained PICUs. If validated, our prediction model would be a readily implementable mechanism to support triage of critically ill children at admission to the PICU and could provide value across a variety of contexts where resource prioritization is important. Abstract 2 is a feature article by Lepage Farrell et al. Non-invasive neurally adjusted ventilatory assist in infants with bronchiolitis, respiratory outcomes in a single-center retrospective cohort from 2016 to 2018. Objectives: to describe our experience of using non-invasive neurally adjusted ventilatory assist, or NIV-NAVA, in infants with bronchiolitis, its associations with the evolution of respiratory effort, and PICU outcomes. Design: retrospective analysis of a prospectively curated high-frequency electronic database. Setting: a PICU in a university-affiliated maternal child health center in Canada. Patients included patients younger than 2 years old who were admitted with a diagnosis of acute bronchiolitis and treated with NIV-NAVA from October 2016 to June 2018. There were no interventions. Measurements and main results. Patient characteristics as well as respiratory and physiologic parameters, including electrical diaphragmatic activity, or EDI, were extracted from the electronic database. Respiratory effort was estimated using the modified Wood Clinical Asthma Score and the inspiratory EDI. A comparison in the respiratory effort data was made between the 2 hours before and 2 hours after starting NIV-NAVA. In the two seasons, 64 of 205 bronchiolitis patients were supported with NIV-NAVA. These 64 patients had a median age of 52 days with an interquartile range of 32 to 92 days, and there were 36 of 64 males. Treatment with NIV-NAVA was used after failure of first-tier non-invasive respiratory support. 25 of 64 patients, or 39%, had at least one medical comorbidity. NIV-NAVA initiation was associated with a moderate decrease in modified Wood Clinical Asthma Score from 3 with an interquartile range of 2.5 to 3.5 to 2.5 with an interquartile range of 2 to 3 and a p-value less than 0.001. NIV-NAVA initiation was also associated with a statistically significant decrease in EDI with a p-value less than 0.01. However, this decrease was only clinically relevant in infants with a 2-hour baseline EDI greater than 20 microvolts. Here, the before and after EDI was 44 microvolts, with an interquartile range of 33 to 54 microvolts, compared with 27 microvolts, with an interquartile range of 21 to 36 microvolts respectively, and a p-value less than 0.001. Conclusions. In this single-center retrospective cohort in infants with bronchiolitis who were considered to have failed first-tier non-invasive respiratory support, the use of NIV-NAVA was associated with a rapid decrease in respiratory effort and a 9% intubation rate. Abstract 3 is a feature article by Chauncey et al., Development and Validation of a Model for Endotracheal Intubation and Mechanical Ventilation Prediction in PICU Patients. Objectives. To develop and externally validate an intubation prediction model for children admitted to a PICU using objective and routinely available data from the electronic medical records, or EMRs. Design. Retrospective observational cohort study. Setting. Two PICUs within the same healthcare system, an academic quaternary care center with 36 beds, and a community tertiary care center with 56 beds. Patients included children younger than 18 years old admitted to a PICU between 2010 and 2022. There were no interventions. Measurements and main results. Clinical data was extracted from the EMR. PICU stays with at least one mechanical ventilation event greater than or equal to 24 hours and occurring within a window of 1 to 7 days after hospital admission were included in the study. Of 13,208 PICU stays in the derivation PICU cohort, 1,175, or 8.9%, had an intubation event. In the validation cohort, there were 1,165 of 17,841 stays, or 6.53%, with an intubation event. We trained a categorical boosting or CAT boost model using vital signs, laboratory tests, demographic data, medications, organ dysfunction scores, and other patient characteristics to predict the need of intubation and mechanical ventilation using a 24-hour window of data within their hospital stay. We compared the CAT boost model to an extreme gradient boost, random forest, and a logistic regression model. The area under the receiving operating characteristic curve for the derivation cohort and the validation cohort was 0.88 with a 95% confidence interval of 0.88 to 0.89 and 0.92 with a 95% confidence interval of 0.91 to 0.92 respectively. Conclusions. We developed an externally validated and interpretable machine learning prediction model that improves on conventional clinical criteria to predict the need for intubation in children hospitalized in a PICU using information readily available in the EMR. Implementation of our model may help clinicians optimize the timing of endotracheal intubation and better allocate respiratory and nursing staff to care for mechanically ventilated children. Abstract 4 is a clinical investigation by Burton et al. Pre-extubation ultrasound measurement of in-situ cuffed endotracheal tube laryngeal air column width difference, single-center pilot study of relationship with post-extubation stridor in subjects younger than 5 years old. Objectives. Post-extubation stridor is difficult to predict before extubation. We therefore evaluated the potential diagnostic performance of pre-extubation laryngeal air column width difference measurement, as assessed by intensivist-performed point-of-care laryngeal ultrasound in relation to clinically important post-extubation stridor. Design. Prospective observational cohort study. Setting. Single quaternary PICU from July 19, 2021 to October 31, 2022. Patients included subjects younger than 5 years old intubated with a cuffed endotracheal tube requiring invasive mechanical ventilation for greater than 24 hours and nearing extubation. Subjects at high risk for supraglottic airway obstruction were excluded. Interventions. Laryngeal ultrasound with measurement of laryngeal air column width with the endotracheal tube cuff inflated and deflated. Clinically important post-extubation stridor was defined as a high-pitched inspiratory respiratory noise suspected to be from a subglottic focus, necessitating medical intervention or reintubation. Measurements and main results. Among 53 enrolled subjects, 18 of 53, or 34%, experienced post-extubation stridor, and 3 of 53, or 6%, were re-intubated because of severe subglottic upper airway obstruction. Median laryngeal air column width difference was significantly lower in the stridor group compared with the non-stridor group, 0.41 millimeters, 95% confidence interval 0.37 to 0.48, and a p-value less than 0.001. The area under the receiver operating characteristic curve for laryngeal air column width difference as a diagnosis of post-extubation stridor was 0.94 with a 95% confidence interval of 0.89 to 1 and a p-value less than 0.001. The laryngeal air column width difference cutoff for post-extubation stridor was less than or equal to 0.47 millimeters, which yielded a diagnostic sensitivity of 91.4% and specificity of 88.9%. In this population, the pre- to post-test change in probability of post-extubation stridor for laryngeal air column width difference less than or equal to 0.47 millimeters is 0.34 to 0.81. Conclusions. Pre-extubation laryngeal air column width difference is a novel, non-invasive assessment that can be performed and interpreted by the intensivist at the bedside. There is, however, diagnostic uncertainty in the use of this measurement for identifying those at risk of post-extubation stridor, and larger validation studies are needed. Abstract 5 is a cardiac intensive care article by Brandewy et al. Neonatal chylothorax and early fluid overload after cardiac surgery. Retrospective analysis of the Neonatal and Pediatric Heart and Renal Outcomes Network Registry from 2015 to 2018. Objectives: to evaluate the association between postoperative cumulative fluid balance and development of chylothorax in neonates after cardiac surgery. Design: multicenter retrospective cohort identified within the Neonatal and Pediatric Heart and Renal Outcomes Network, or NEFRON, registry. Setting: 22 hospitals were involved with NEFRON from September 2015 to January 2018. Patients: neonates less than 30 days old undergoing index cardiac operation with or without cardiopulmonary bypass entered into the NEFRON registry. Postoperative chylothorax was defined in the Pediatric Cardiac Critical Care Consortium as lymphatic fluid in the pleural space secondary to a leak from the thoracic duct or its branches. There were no interventions. Measurements and main results. Of the 2,240 NEFRON patients, 89, or 4%, were treated for chylothorax during postoperative day 2 to 21. Median time to diagnosis was 8 days, with an interquartile range of 6 to 12 days. Of patients treated for chylothorax, 81 of 89, or 91%, had cardiopulmonary bypass, and 68 of 89, or 76%, had Society of Thoracic Surgeons European Association for Cardiothoracic Surgery Congenital Heart Surgery 4 to 5 operations. On bivariate analysis, chylothorax patients had higher post-op day 1 fluid balance, 3.2 versus 1.1%, with a p-value equal to 0.014, higher cumulative post-op day 2 fluid balance, 1.5 versus negative 1.5% with a p-value less than 0.001, achieved negative daily fluid balance by post-op day 1 less often, 69% versus 79% with a p-value equal to 0.039, and had lower post-op day 1 urine output, 1.9 versus 3.2 milliliters per kilogram per day with a p-value less than or equal to 0.001, than those without chylothorax. We failed to identify an association between presence or absence of chylothorax and peak fluid balance, 5.2 versus 4.9%, with a p-value equal to 0.9. Multivariable analysis shows that higher cumulative fluid balance on postoperative day 2 was associated with greater odds of chylothorax development, with an odds ratio of 1.5 and a 95% confidence interval of 1.1 to 2.2. Further multivariable analysis shows that chylothorax was independently associated with greater odds of longer durations of mechanical ventilation, respiratory support, use of inotropic support, and longer hospital length of stay. Odds ratio for mechanical ventilation was 5.5 with a 95% confidence interval of 3.7 to 8. Respiratory support odds ratio was 4.3 with a 95% confidence interval of 2.9 to 6.2. Inotropic support odds ratio was 2.9 with a 95% confidence interval of 2 to 4.3, and longer hospital length of stay odds ratio was 3.7 with a 95% confidence interval of 2.5 to 5.4. Conclusions. chylothorax after neonatal cardiac surgery for congenital heart disease is independently associated with greater odds of longer duration of cardiorespiratory support and hospitalization. Higher early or postoperative day 2 cumulative fluid balance is associated with greater odds of chylothorax. Contemporary prospective studies are needed to assess whether early fluid mitigation strategies decrease postoperative chylothorax development. Abstract 6 is a neurocritical care article by Vassar et al. Mortality and timing of withdrawal of life-sustaining therapies after out-of-hospital cardiac arrest, two-center retrospective pediatric cohort study. Objectives: pediatric out-of-hospital cardiac arrest is associated with substantial morbidity and mortality. Limited data exist to guide timing and method of neurologic prognostication after pediatric out-of-hospital cardiac arrest, making counseling on withdrawal of life-sustaining therapies challenging. This study investigates the timing and mode of death after pediatric out-of-hospital cardiac arrest and factors associated with mortality. Additionally, this study explores delayed recovery after comatose examination on day 3 post-arrest. Design. This is a retrospective observational study based on data collected from hospital databases and chart reviews. Setting. Data collection occurred in two pediatric academic hospitals between January 1, 2016 and December 31, 2020. Patients. Patients were identified from available databases and electronic medical record queries for the International Classification of Diseases 10th Edition or ICD-10 code I46.9, cardiac arrest. Patient inclusion criteria included age range greater than or equal to 48 hours to less than 18 years, out-of-hospital cardiac arrest within 24 hours of admission, greater than or equal to 1 minute of cardiopulmonary resuscitation, and return of spontaneous circulation for greater than or equal to 20 minutes. There were no interventions. Measurements and main results. 135 children, 65% male, with a median age of 3 years and an interquartile range of 0.6 to 11.8 years, met inclusion criteria. Overall, 63 of 135 patients, or 47%, died before hospital discharge, including 34 of 63 patients, or 54%, after withdrawal of life-sustaining therapies. Among these, 20 of 34 patients underwent withdrawal of life-sustaining therapies less than or equal to 3 days post-arrest, including 10 of 34 patients who underwent withdrawal of life-sustaining therapies within 1 day. Withdrawal of life-sustaining therapies occurred because of poor perceived neurologic prognosis in all cases, although 7 of 34 also had poor perceived systemic prognosis. Delayed neurologic recovery from coma on day 3 post-arrest was observed in 7 of 72 children, or 10%, who ultimately survived to discharge. Conclusions. In our two centers between 2016 and 2020, more than half the deaths after pediatric out-of-hospital cardiac arrest occurred after withdrawal of life-sustaining therapies, and a majority of withdrawal of life-sustaining therapies occurred within 3 days post-arrest. Additional research is warranted to determine optimal timing and predictors of neurologic prognosis after pediatric out-of-hospital cardiac arrest to better inform families during goals of care discussions. Abstract 7 is a neurocritical care article by McNamara et al. New functional impairment after hospital discharge by traumatic brain injury mechanism in younger than 3 years old admitted to the PICU in a single-center retrospective study. Objectives. Children who suffer traumatic brain injury, or TBI, are at high risk of morbidity and mortality. We hypothesized that in patients with TBI, the abusive head trauma mechanism versus accidental TBI would be associated with higher frequency of new functional impairment between baseline and later follow-up. Design: retrospective single-center cohort study. Setting and patients. Children younger than 3 years old admitted with TBI to the PICU at a level 1 trauma center between 2014 and 2019. There were no interventions. Measurements and main results. Patient characteristics, TBI mechanism, and functional status scale scores at baseline, hospital discharge, short term with a median of 10 months and an interquartile range of 3 to 12 months, and long term with a median of 4 years and an interquartile range of 3 to 6 years post discharge were abstracted from the electronic health record. New impairment was defined as an increase in functional status scale greater than 1 from baseline. Patients who died were assigned to the highest score, 30. Multivariable logistic regression was performed to determine the association between TBI mechanism with new impairment. Over 6 years, there were 460 TBI children, 170 abusive head trauma, 290 accidental TBI, of which 13 with abusive head trauma and 4 with accidental TBI died. Frequency of new impairment by follow-up interval in abusive head trauma versus accidental TBI patients were as follows. Hospital discharge, 42 of 157, or 27%, versus 27 of 286, or 9%, with a p-value less than 0.001. Short term, 42 of 153, or 27%, versus 26 of 259, or 10%, with a p-value less than 0.001. And long term, 32 of 114, or 28%, versus 18 of 178, or 10%, with a p-value less than 0.001. Sensory, communication, and motor domains were worse in abusive head trauma patients at the short and long-term time point. On multivariable analysis, abusive head trauma mechanism was associated with greater odds of poor outcome, including death and new impairment at hospital discharge, with an odds ratio of 4.4 and a 95% confidence interval of 2.2 to 8.9, short-term time points with an odds ratio of 2.7 and an interquartile range of 1.5 to 4.9, and long-term time points with an odds ratio of 2.4 and a 95% confidence interval of 1.2 to 4.8 and a p-value less than 0.05. Conclusions. In patients younger than 3 years old admitted to the PICU after TBI, the abusive head trauma mechanism versus accidental TBI is associated with greater odds of poor outcome in the follow-up period through to about 5 years post-discharge. New impairment occurred in multiple domains, and only abusive head trauma patients further declined in functional status scale over time. Abstract 8 is an online clinical investigation by Schleppbach et al. Organ dysfunction in children with blood culture-proven sepsis, comparative performance of 4 scores in a national cohort study. Objectives. Previous studies applying sepsis 3 criteria to children were based on retrospective analyses of PICU cohorts. We aim to compare organ dysfunction criteria in children with blood culture-proven sepsis, including emergency department, PICU, and ward patients, and to assess relevance of organ dysfunctions for mortality prediction. Design. We have carried out a non-pre-specified secondary analysis of a prospective dataset collected from September 2011 to December 2015. Setting. Emergency departments, wards, and PICUs in 10 tertiary children's hospitals in Switzerland. Patients. Children younger than 17 years old with blood culture-proven sepsis. We excluded preterm infants and term infants younger than 7 days old. There were no interventions. Measurements and main results. We compared the 2005 International Pediatric Sepsis Consensus Conference, or IPSCC, Pediatric Logistic Organ Dysfunction 2, or PLOD2, Pediatric Sequential Organ Failure Assessment, or PSOFA, and Pediatric Organ Dysfunction Information Update Mandate, or PODIUM scores, measured at blood culture sampling to predict 30-day mortality. We analyzed 877 sepsis episodes in 807 children with a 30-day mortality of 4.3%. Percentage with organ dysfunction ranged from 32.7% IPSCC to 55.3% PSOFA. In adjusted analyses, the accuracy for identification of 30-day mortality was area under the curve, or AUC, of 0.87 with a 95% confidence interval of 0.82 to 0.92 for IPSCC, AUC of 0.83 with a 95% confidence interval of 0.76 to 0.89 for PLOT2, AUC of 0.85 with a 95% confidence interval of 0.78 to 0.92 for PSOFA, and AUC of 0.85 with a 95% confidence interval of 0.78 to 0.91 for PODIUM. Conclusions. IPSCC, PLOD2, PSOFA, and PODIUM performed similarly to predict 30-day mortality. Simplified scores restricted to neurologic, respiratory, and cardiovascular dysfunction yielded comparable performance. Abstract 9 is an online clinical investigation by Fisher et al. Cognitive, functional, and quality of life outcomes 6 months after mechanical ventilation for bronchiolitis, a secondary analysis of data from the randomized evaluation of sedation titration for respiratory failure trial, or RESTORE. Objectives: to describe rates and associated risk factors for functional decline 6 months after critical bronchiolitis in a large multicenter dataset. Design: non-pre-specified secondary analysis of existing 6-month follow-up data of patients in the randomized evaluation of sedation titration for respiratory failure, or RESTORE, trial. setting, patients recruited to RESTORE in any of the 31 PICUs in the United States from 2009 to 2013. Patients, mechanically ventilated PICU patients under 2 years at admission with a primary diagnosis of bronchiolitis. Interventions. There were no interventions in this secondary analysis. In the RESTORE trial, PICUs were randomized to protocolized sedation versus usual care. Measurements and main results. Functional decline, defined as worsened pediatric overall performance category and/or pediatric cerebral performance category or PCPC scores at 6 months post-PICU discharge as compared with pre-illness baseline. Quality of life was assessed using infant-toddler quality of life questionnaire or ITQOL in children less than 2 years old at follow-up, or pediatric quality of life inventory or PEDS-QL at 6 months post-PICU discharge. In a cohort of 232 bronchiolitis patients, 28 or 12% had functional decline 6 months post-discharge, which was associated with unfavorable quality of life in several ITQOL and PEDS-QL domains. Among 209 patients with normal baseline functional status, 19 or 9% had functional decline. In a multivariable model including all subjects, decline was associated with greater odds of worse baseline PCPC score and longer PICU length of stay. In patients with normal baseline status, decline was also associated with greater odds of longer PICU length of stay. Conclusions. In a random sampling of RESTORE subjects, 12% of bronchiolitis patients had functional decline at 6 months. Given the high volume of mechanically ventilated patients with bronchiolitis, this observation suggests many young children may be at risk of new morbidities after PICU admission, including functional and/or cognitive morbidity and reduced quality of life. Abstract 10 is an online neurologic critical care article by Joy et al. Death by neurologic criteria in children undergoing extracorporeal cardiopulmonary resuscitation, Retrospective Extracorporeal Life Support Organization Registry Study, 2017 to 2021. Objectives: to determine factors associated with brain death in children treated with extracorporeal cardiopulmonary resuscitation, or e-cardiopulmonary resuscitation. Design: retrospective database study. Settings: data reported to the Extracorporeal Life Support Organization, or ELSO, from 2017 to 2021. Patients: children supported with veno-arterial extracorporeal membrane oxygenation, or ECMO, for e-cardiopulmonary resuscitation. There were no interventions. Measurements and main results. Data from the ELSO registry included patient characteristics, blood gas values, support therapies, and complications. The primary outcome was brain death. It est death by neurologic criteria, or DNC. There were 2,209 children greater than or equal to 29 days to less than 18 years of age included. The reason for ECMO discontinuation was DNC in 138 patients, or 6%, and other criteria for death occurred in 886 patients, or 40%. Recovery occurred in 1,109 patients, or 50%, and the remaining 76 patients, or 4%, underwent transplantation. Fine and gray proportional subdistribution hazards regression analyses were used to examine the association between variables of interest and DNC. Age greater than 1 year, arterial blood carbon dioxide tension greater than 82 millimeters of mercury, baseline lactate greater than 15 millimoles per liter, and lactate 24 hours after cannulation greater than 3.8 millimoles per liter were independently associated with greater hazard of subsequent death by neurologic criteria. Age greater than 1 year had a p-value less than 0.001. Arterial blood carbon dioxide tension greater than 82 millimeters of mercury had a p-value equal to 0.022. Baseline lactate greater than 15 had a p-value equal to 0.034. And lactate 24 hours after cannulation greater than 3.8 had a p-value less than 0.001. In contrast, the presence of cardiac disease was associated with a lower hazard of subsequent DNC, with a subdistribution hazard ratio of 0.57, a 95% confidence interval of 0.39 to 0.83, and a p-value equal to 0.004. Conclusions. In children undergoing e-cardiopulmonary resuscitation, older age, pre-event hypercarbia, higher before and during ECMO lactate levels are associated with death by neurologic criteria. Given the association of DNC with hypercarbia following cardiac arrest, the role of arterial blood carbon dioxide tension management in e-cardiopulmonary resuscitation warrants further studies. Abstract 11 is an online neurologic critical care article by Michelle et al. Neurological outcomes and quality of life in children after extracorporeal membrane oxygenation. Rationale: use of life support with extracorporeal membrane oxygenation, or ECMO, is associated with brain injury. However, the consequences of these injuries on subsequent neurologic development and health-related quality of life are poorly described in children. Objectives: the aim of this preliminary study was to describe short and long-term neurologic outcomes in survivors of ECMO, as well as their health-related quality of life. Design: retrospective identified cohort with contemporary evaluations. Setting: Necker Children's Hospital Academic PICU. Patients: 40 survivors who underwent ECMO from October 2014 to January 2020 were included in follow-up assessments in May 2021. There were no interventions. Measurements and main results. We first reviewed the outcomes of ECMO at the time of PICU discharge, which included a summary of neurology, radiology, and pediatric overall cerebral performance category, or POPC-PCPC scores. Then, in May 2021, we interviewed parents and patients to assess health-related quality of life using Pediatric Quality of Life Inventory, or PEDS-QL, and POPC-PCPC for children 3 years old or older, and Denver 2 test, or DT2, for younger children. An evaluation of DT2 in the youngest patients 1 year after ECMO decannulation was also added. Median age at ECMO was 1.4 years with an interquartile range of 0.4 to 6 years. 35 children, or 88%, underwent a veno-arterial ECMO. At PICU discharge, 15 of 40 patients, or 38%, had neurologic impairment. Assessment of health-related quality of life was carried out at a median of 1.6 years after PICU discharge with an interquartile range of 0.7 to 3.3 years. PEDS-QL scores were over 70 of 100 for all patients, with healthy peers mean results 80 of 100, and scores were like those published in patients suffering with chronic diseases. In May 2021, 7 of 15 patients had a normal DT2, and 36 of 40 patients had a POPC-PCPC score less than or equal to 3. Conclusions: none of our patients presented severe disability at long term, and health-related quality of life evaluation was reassuring. Considering the risk of neurologic impairment after ECMO support, a systematic follow-up of these high-risk survivor patients would be advisable. This concludes the abstracts for the March 2024 issue of Pediatric Critical Care Medicine. Thank you very much for listening. For more journal-related content, including access to the articles mentioned in this recording, please visit pccmjournal.org. Members of the SCCM Pediatric Section receive complimentary access to the PCCM Journal.